Good morning, everybody. So today we're going to continue Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, that whole sugya. Bez Hashem, we'll finish that today. We'll move on to Tzli, hopefully maybe even a little bit today, but certainly tomorrow. Simon Kofei, you know, I mean, these are the first few Se'ifim are where it's really at. Tzli is going to come up, and all of the stuff is going to come up again in Bas V'Chalav. Kuvav Kuvzayin, we're going to sort of run through much more quickly also. But let's go back to where we were. So, and I apologize if I'm a little erratic today in terms of organization. I just I didn't have time to really organize anything last night. It was a busy night, busier than I thought it would be. So anyway, so we mentioned that according to Tosfos, a Kli Sheni can't cook because the defanos are makaros, the walls cool it down, and therefore it lacks the intensity of heat, even if it has the temperature, but the intensity of heat is not the same. So there are three shitos, however, about solids in the Kli Sheni, about what do you do if you have a dover gush in the Kli Sheni. I think we were about to get into that. I don't think we began that discussion yet. You'll tell me if I'm wrong about that. Is that true? Right? Okay. We're going to discuss it. So yeah, we'll discuss some of the Kli Sheni, and then maybe we'll go back and discuss another couple of issues related to Iroi, and I know that's really out of order, but you know, when you take your notes, you could just put it back there or whatever. So let's go into Davar Gush. The Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Yud Chasif Katan Memhei paskins in the name of the Marshal that only liquids that are placed in a Kli Sheni do not have the capacity to cook because of the Tefanos Kli or Mekaro Sosa. However, a solid food, a davar gush that's put into a Kli Sheni and is still Yatzo Ledesbo, is still very, very hot, it can cook even in a Kli Sheni. What does it mean to cook even in a Kli Sheni? It means if you put raw food on a davar gush, on a hot davar gush that's sitting on your dinner plate, that raw food can become cooked, and therefore it's usher to put a raw piece of lettuce from your salad on your hot piece of meat that's still above Yatzo Ledes, even though it's already on your dinner plate, it's already in a Kli Sheni, because the walls of the Kli Sheni don't really touch every section of the solid food, meaning when you pour a liquid into a Kli Sheni, so it takes the shape of its container, and the walls of the container are makaros, so but when you put it plop down a solid on a Kli Sheni, yes, the bottom surface is on the Kli Sheni, but the entirety of the item is not really touching the walls, and therefore does not enjoy that benefit of Defanos Mekaros. So the solid remains hotter for a longer period of time, and working within Shita Satosos, it maintains that intensity of heat. It doesn't go through this precipitous decline in temperature, even when it is hot, but it doesn't go through such a quick decline in temperature. And the Shach in Sifkat Al-Ches, over here in Yardea, explains the distinction between the Davar Yavish and the Davar Lach in the Kli Sheni exactly in this way. Based on that Shitas, Hatosos said it's all about the Tefanos Mekaros. Mishnah Brura writes, as a matter of halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, that Yeshli Zor Bazeh, that we should try to be Machmir, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is called in Shmir Shabbos, Kilchsa as well, to be Machmir concerning solids in a Kli Sheni, and then he adds, and also in a Kli Shlishi, meaning the whole idea of a Davar Gush is that it doesn't matter what Kli it's in, because it's never really cooling down. So it doesn't matter how many Kelim you put it into, it never really gets cooled off by whatever container it's in, because it's only one little surface that's actually coming into contact with that which is cool. The Gemara talks about Dagam Sha'alu Bekara, even though Lechara it's a Kli Sheni. So from the fact that the Gemara assumes that there are Blios, you have to assume that a Davar Gush doesn't have the status of a Kli Sheni. Right, that's the Pashut assumption of the Marshal. And the Shach quotes it again, Mishra Brura is Machmir Lechachila. The Ramah in Yardeis and Tzadi Dalid argues. The Ramah and Tzadi Dalid, which we'll get to in more detail when we do Basar B'Chalav, paskins that any food, even a solid that's in another Kli, has the status of a Kli Rishon. The Ramah writes, V'kol zeh b'basar otech b'kli Rishon, aval im hu b'kli Sheni. So I'm a basar otech. If it's in a Kli Sheni, then it's not Mavliya. And Darkei Moshe, the Ramah rejects the Raya from Dagim Sha'alu Bekara. Aye, Dagim Sha'alu Bekara is in a Kli Sheni, and yet we still assume that there are Blios, because if you take a piece of food out of a pot and put it directly onto a plate, that's not Kli Sheni. What's that called if you take a piece of food out of a pot and plop it down on a plate? Says Ramah, that's Iroi Kli Rishon. meaning it's coming straight from the pot directly onto the plate, which we're going to have to see. That's why I want to revisit Eroi a little bit, because I don't think we did a good enough job explaining, or I don't know if we explained at all, the difference between Eroi Shenifsak HaKiluach and Eroi Shalo Nifsak HaKiluach. But the Ramah assumes that that's called Eroi Kli Rishon, that's not called Kli Sheni. And in fact, in the Chasam Sofer, in the Tshuva, writes that Ein Shoresh L'Davar B'Shasu Poskim, about this Chumrah of the Marshal, Ein Shoresh L'Davar B'Shasu Poskim, there's no basis to assume that something that's in a Kli Sheni should still have a status of Kli Rishon just because it's a solid. V'chein kibalti mimori hagon zatzal lahakel b'davar gush be'ez hatzorech. That's certainly be'ez hatzorech. We could be makel that a davar gush in a Kli Sheni is really a Kli Sheni, that it is not a Kli Rishon. The Shach takes sort of a middle approach. And the Shach over here in Sivkot and Ches paskins that real solids definitely do or probably do retain the status of a Kli Rishon. But if it's a solid food that spreads a little bit, like a rice or an oatmeal, where it's sort of it doesn't necessarily fully take the shape of its container, but it also doesn't just sit, it doesn't get plopped down in one place. It does spread a little bit more. A chalent, you know, that kind of thing will have the status of a Kli Sheni. Rabbi Ribiat in his Lamentas Malacha Sefer, in Bishul, footnote number 110, he writes, Ra'isi sha'amdu achronam b'din dover gush b'rotav b'klisheni, didino k'dina rotav. He says, I saw that the number of achronim suggests that if you have a dover gush, a potato, in a liquidy chalent. Right, so sometimes, you know, if you had a simcha, just had a bar mitzvah for Shabbos, so everything is personal portions nowadays with COVID and outdoors. Upstate was freezing, but it was nice. It was nice to, you know, have your own separate tables. But they when they give you chalent, they give you in a separate dish. Why do they give chalent in a separate dish? Because people. because when you have chalent in a separate dish, it doesn't run into the rest of your food. So what's the story with the chalent? You have a potato sitting in the chalent, so that's a dover gush, but it's sitting in a rotav. So he says, Re'isi shamdar achronim b'din dover gush b'rotav b'klisheni. If you have a dover gush in a rotav in a klisheni, didino k'din a rotav. That for sure would have a din of a klisheni. V'lo chilku beinim kulo b'toch a rotav omuktsaso. And he says, and I saw that they're not mechalik, whether it's partially or entirely immersed in the rotav. Ayin yad of Rami Ardesim Saidal Shkasub Shema Torah Adam Dehechoshen Arif Habasar Memrotav Miskarer Gam Habasar Al Yedeya Rotav Shemisavavla V'chein Kasav Piskri Chuvi Ardesim Saidal Sivkat Nzayin Shebetoras Ha'asha Mechalik Dehechoshe Iru Habasar Ima Rotav Toch Klisheni Oz Miskarer Gam Habasar Al Yedeya Rotav. Essentially, he quotes poskim from Yoredeya, from Simit Sadi Dalit, which again, hopefully we'll get into a little more detail when we do Simit Sadi Dalit, but the basic idea is that if it's in a gravy, then the gravy becomes a klisheni and memela, any salads that are in that gravy also become a klisheni, even though they themselves, the salad itself, is not touching the dofnei hakadera, but it's part of a food that is fully touching the dofnei hakadera. Now, it's also possible that there's another possibility, meaning, what do we say? That either davar gush is a kli rishon, or it's a kli sheni, or it depends how gush the davar gush is, right? Those are the three possibilities we have so far. It could also be possible that there's another chiluk to be made, not how gush the davar gush is, not how solid the davar gush is, but maybe there's a chiluk to be made between Bas B'chavot HaRavas, between Yaradeya, and Arachayim, and Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos. It could be that a davar gush creates blios in a klisheni, but not bishul in a klisheni. And the raya is from the Gemara in Chul, and the Gemara looks for a case of where you would ever have a chashash of basar b'chalav midaraisa at your table, at the table that you're eating at, right? We've quoted this Gemara 1,000 times already. And the Gemara has to go back and forth until it comes up with a case. Oh, must be that they brought the kli rishon to the table. What a kimta to make. They bring the kli rishon to the table where you're eating at, and what, the guy's eating out of the pot at the table? It's quite a lukimta. The Gemara could have just said a much simpler thing. Just say, davar gush! It's a davar gush, and that's why it's a kli rishon. Why do we have to come up with such a lukimta? And it could be that there's a difference between Bishul versus Blios. When it comes to, see, the case of Basar B'Chalav, we're looking for, is there going to be a chashash of Bishul Basar B'Chalav? So I guess I shouldn't have said a chiluk between Yoredeya versus Arachayim, but a chiluk between Blios versus Bishul. So when the Gemara is looking for a case of Bishul Basar B'Chalav, it has to technically be Bishul. It's not enough that there are Blios that transfer. So even Sli, according to many Rishonim, wouldn't qualify as Bishul, even though there are Blios that transfer. So maybe by Bishul B'Shabbos, but not by Bishul Basar B'Chalav, it's Bishul B'Shabbos, but it's not going to be considered, or I should say, maybe it's considered to be Bishul, but it's not, it's considered to be Blios, but not Bishul, neither by Shabbos nor by Basar B'Chalav. So it could be that there's one definition of Bishul, and that has to be consistent. Or it could be that we split between Bishul Basar B'Chalav and Bishul B'Shabbos also, because Derech Bishul Asra Torah when it comes to Bishul Basar B'Chalav.
So this whole conversation that we've been having is all under the assumption that the reason why is because of Tosfos. What about right. If you say it's just because it's not Derech Bishul, or you say because, that you're Shalom?
Yeah, once you say it's not that official, then the Chavra Davar Gush shouldn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Right, the whole conversation is assuming that we pass
so
like Tosfos.
We
assume we pass like Tosfos. So Lemaisa, in Hilchas Shabbos, the Archa Shulchan, the Archa Shulchan in Yeredeya, in Simit Sadi Dalid, says that you could rely on the Ramah, but only when it's Hefsin Merubah. Meaning the Ramah, who says that a Davar Gush is a klisheni, but only behafsim ruba, and that seems to be what the Mishnah Berurah says also, because Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos says yeshli zahir. So yeshli zahir means to be very careful, but doesn't mean that it's absolutely an open and shut case. So according to the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, you can't put raw spices on a potato or on a roast that's still yatzal ledus bo, even if you remove it from the fire or from the pot, because the spice will get cooked, right? That's what we learned, that a spiced food in a Kli Rishon, even after it was removed from the fire. And a Davar Gush has the status of a Kli Rishon. So there is a practice in Israel, I don't think it's an American practice, where they take a pickle, and they, you're familiar with what they do with pickles at a Kiddush in Israel? Any, on your Shalmi kugel?
No, you put it on top.
Yeah. Oh, you've seen this. Do they do that here? I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. But that's what they do in Israel. Right? They take a pickle and they put it on a Yerushalmi kugel. So what's the story with that? Is that allowed? Can you take a wet pickle and put it on your Yerushalmi kugel? So the kugel is a davar gush. And if the kugel is yatzaledas, right, according to a significant shita, Marshal and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, right, you have to be choshesh that it's a kli rishon. The pickle has been kavush, but it has not been mavushal in the classical sense. So, tam of whatever it's pickling went into it, but it hasn't actually been cooked. So can you put a pickle on the Yerushalmi kugel? The Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Ma'or HaShabbos that you're not allowed to do that because of exactly that reason. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Shmir Shabbos, how could you reject Minag Eretz Yisrael, such a delicious minag? So he says you have to put a number of things together, a number of tsnifim lahakel together in order to be makel in such a case. And he says, first of all, say the miskaven. You have no intention whatsoever to cook the pickle. I mean, that's not the purpose. The purpose is just for the flavor. Second of all, it's lo ichbat lei, that it's, even if it's a psik reshe, you can argue it's a psik reshe, but it's a psik reshe lo ichbat lei, which is a psik reshe lo nichle. It's not about, I don't know what it's about. It's disgusting. I don't know what they're looking for. But I don't think what they're looking for is a cooked pickle. I assume what they're looking for is a flavored Yerushalmi kugel, that the Yerushalmi kugel should absorb some of the juices of the pickle. Also, it's mekalkel, he says, because you're ruining the pickle. I'm a little lost. In conjunction with the fact, obviously, the big sniff lahakel is that a hechi tasty, that a klisheni is really a klirisha, meaning that a davar gush in the klisheni is a klirisha. Maybe we don't agree with that marshal. What about ketchup on a hot piece of chicken or meat? So again, we're in the area of Hilchos Shabbos a little bit, just for a moment. So is ketchup a davar lach or a davar yavish? Meaning ketchup is cooked before. So normally ein bishlach or bishul by a davar yavish, but a davar lach we paskin that we're machmir if you learn till Shabbos at all, that we pass on machmir that a davar lach, we're choshesh at least that yesh bishel achar bishel, that recooking a davar lach is considered to be bishel. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Shmir Shabbos, in the first part of Shmir Shabbos, is of the opinion that ketchup is considered a davar yavesh, and since the tomatoes were cooked beforehand, ain bishel achar bishel, so it's no problem. You could put the ketchup on a hot piece of meat, even if it's above yatzoledes, even if you hold like the marshal. However, in that big tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote to Rabbi Eider, we just quoted the other day, that same tshuva, you know, Or Chaim Chelik Dalet Simenayin Dalet, that long, long tshuva, a beautiful, beautiful tshuva. So in Bishul Os Hay, Rav Moshe is of the opinion that anything that flows when the plate is tilted, like it would just flow, is considered a liquid, and anything that stands alone and doesn't take the form of the kli is a davar yavish. So ketchup, he says, is a davar lach. May depend on if it's Pesach ketchup or if it's Heinz ketchup, right? So Heinz ketchup is a little more solid, but if it's Pesach ketchup, you know, so that every year we buy Pesach ketchup, it doesn't get eaten. No one, people would rather have no ketchup than have Pesach ketchup. The Heinz is one thing, but so it ends up being used for cooking. But it might depend on that metzius. But Ramesh says mutter anyway, because there are two chumras here that form a sfek sveka. The chumra of the Ramah that yesh bishel achar bishel b'davar lach, really make or I didn't we pass an ein bishel achar bishel afilu b'davar lach, and that's the way. It's machlokes achronim have to understand the Ramah, but the Ramah says that if it's lo nitzdan in the gamri, then you're allowed to do bishel achar bishel afilu b'davar lach. So why if it's lo nitzdan in the gamri? So Pashto says because meikra didn't we really hold. Ein bishalach or bishal b'davar lach. Elamai, we're machmir. If it's nitzan in the gamri, because then it looks like the bishal rishona. It looks like it's the first bishal. That's at least one explanation of the Ramah, and that's the one Rav Moshe prefers. Okay, you got to see chazanish. Maybe he doesn't learn that. But that's the way the explanation that Rav Moshe prefers. That really mikra didn't even the Ramah holds yesh bishalach or bishal. Even the Ramah holds ein bishalach or bishal b'davar lach. He's only machmir yesh bishal. It's only chumra. And the Magen Avraham's chumra of the marshal that a klisheni has a din of a kli rishon just because it's a davar gush, so you don't have to put all your chumras together. That's how Rav Moshe understands. The Mishabura disagrees with Rav Moshe. The Mishabura Sukkarnayin Ches and Chashabes and Simshun Yuches says the chachila you should not put hot roast into cold gravy. If it's even previously cooked cold gravy, which presumably is the same as ketchup. Now, when we talk about kli rishon, you have to assume that there's a lot of heat. Presumably, kli rishon is only a kli rishon when it's yad soledas. And in Yoredeya, certainly, we assume anything that's below yad soledas is not going to be able to transfer any bleels. Question is if there are any exceptions to that rule. So with that, we go back to the Yerushalmi. Right? The Yerushalmi had that phrase, that also harchaka l'kli rishon. So there's a machlokas haposkim. Does that mean that the entire din of kli rishon shelo al gabe esh is only a din d'rabbanan? Or that in a kli rishon, which is bishul d'araisa, if the water is below yad soledes, but we're still machmir mid'rabbanan? That a kli rishon is so chamur that even if it's just lukewarm, it's below yatzaladas, we're still going to be machmir. And that might be true in Yoredeya as well. But generally, we're not machmir for that shita. Generally, we assume that below yatzaladas is nothing to talk about in Shabbos, nothing to talk about in Yoredeya. Anything below yatzaladas is fine. The reason, and it is important, because one of the most common shilas you get in Hilchos Kashrus in the kitchen is a microwave. That someone heated something up in their fleishig microwave, they heated up milchig, or in the milchig microwave, they heated up fleishig. Right? Many kosher kitchens now have two microwaves, so if you have two microwaves, you don't cover anything. If you have one microwave, you just cover everything, and we'll get to that. We'll get to Zaya and why that is, and we'll get to ovens when we do Basar B'chol. Whenever we get to it, we'll get to Zaya. But if you have two microwaves, you're used to putting foods in uncovered. So the first question you ask when someone says, I accidentally heated up milk in a fleshy microwave, the easy way out, what's the first question you ask? How long was it in? How hot was it? Right? Meaning very often when someone warms something up, they realize before it gets to the atzoledes. A lot of times you heat food up in a microwave, and you don't know exactly how long to put it in, so you guess and you underestimate. By the time when you take the food out, it's still not yatzoledes. So at least half the time, it's way below Yatzel Adis, and there's and there's nothing to talk about. The heat hasn't been generated yet that would cause any sorts of glios. So we assume that below Yatzel Adis is not a problem. What about in the other direction? What if you have something that's klisheni, but it's yad nichves? So we spoke about that a little bit, right? The Yerushalmi, in talking about Trumas and Maisros, Yerushalmi says something only becomes tevel when it has a gemar melacha, right? Prior, when you first pick all your produce from the field, so it's not yet tevel, right? It only becomes tevel when you have miruach bekri and you have a gemar melacha on the produce. So if you do something that's kovei al the meiser, it becomes chayev in meisros. So one example of being kovei al the meiser, even if it didn't have a gemar melacha, is if you're mevashel. Let's say you cook the food. Right, so that's kovei al ha-maisros. So now it becomes tevel, becomes chayiv in maisros. So the Yerushalmi says that even if it's not in the kli rishon, but it's yad nichves bo, that's kovei al ha-maisros. So apparently, yad nichves is also mevashel, even in a kli sheni. So Chayyadam says, based on that, in Hilchos Shabbos, if you have boiling water that's yad nichves, even in a kli sheni, even in a kli shlishi, Chayyadam says, it's still mevashel. Chazanish does not believe that that's true. Chazanish says, yeah, that's a din in Trumas HaMaisos. That's a din in, you know, the gedder of Bishul, of what's Koveya. For Trumas HaMaisos, it's totally different. Nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing to do with Yaredei. Nothing to do with Isser V'Hatter. So that's stam a din in Trumas HaMaisos, and not to be applied elsewhere. So I think, generally speaking, you try to be machmel l'chachil, that should be less than yad nichves, but I think, generally speaking, we assume that once something's in a kli sheni, it has a din of a kli sheni. If it's in a kli shlishi, it has a din of whatever you hold about kli shlishi. Any questions up there? Good. Yeah, questions down here?
Yeah. Yes. How does one actually determine what is yatzel adis about? If it's such a subjective...
Yeah, so there's a machlokas haposkim in Hilchos Shabbos, whether it's, you know, what exact temperatures. Moshe sets a range. They have to be machmir in both directions, because sometimes a higher temperature is a chumra, sometimes it's a kula, depending on the situation. So he sets a range between 110 and 160 degrees or something like that. You know, the others give an exact number. I think Shlomo Zalman says 114 or something is yatzel adis. So different, there's 120. There are different shittos as far as what's yatzel adis. And a lot of times all those numbers mean nothing to you because you're not measuring the temperature of the water.
Yeah,
anyway.
What about on Shabbos?
Yeah, so if it seems,
if it
seems that it's hot, so we're machmir that it's yatzel adis. If it seems that it's just lukewarm, then it's for sure not yatzel adis. Anything else? That was the question? Okay, good. What about, so going back to Iroi Kli Rishon, I apologize that I'm a little bit scattered. Iroi Kli Rishon. When it comes to Iroi, there are three opinions. I think we went through them. There's the Rashbam, Rabbi Natam, and then Tosfos and Zvachim, unnamed, right? We'll just call it Tosfos. Rashbam, Rabbi Natam, and Tosfos. They all appear in Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rashbam that Iroi has a din of a klisheni. And that's based on a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Ayin Vav, where there's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Ila Agavar O Tasa Agavar, which comes up right here in Simin Kof Hei, right? That if you put something cold on top of something hot, we assume that the hot thing dominates the cold thing, and therefore time is transferred, or that the cold dominates the hot, and then it's tzoni b'tzoni b'hadacha. When two cold things come in contact with each other, you just need to rinse them off. There's no transference of time, right? So which happens? Do we assume that the ila agavar? Do we assume tasa agavar? What are we paskin? Tasa agavar, right? Which makes sense in the world. I don't know much about physics, but that makes sense, right? Heat rises, and therefore it makes sense that the heat is going to dominate the cold that's coming from on top, right? We assume tasa agavar. So the Gemara doesn't say it based on the Mitzvah. It says based on the Braisa. It's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, by the way. Shmuel is one that says tasa agavar. So it defies the Kol HaPsach, right? Normally, Hilchsuk Rav Yisuri, Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine, this is absolutely Yisuri, right? This is, I mean, this is like the definition of Yisuri Hatter. We call this Limud Yisuri Hatter. So this is, you would think, Hilchsuk Rav Yisuri. But this defies the Klal HaPsach because the Gemara says, the Gemara brings a Braisa that supports Shmuel. So we pask in that Tasa Agavar. So Iroi, L'chora, is an example of exactly that. What happens? Iroi is you're pouring out of a kli rishon something boiling hot into a cold kli sheni. Right? So if you're pouring into a cold kli sheni and you hold tasa agavar, the cold kli sheni is on the bottom. So then you should say that there's no bishul. Right? If you hold tasa agavar. So that's what the shitas Rashbam is, that Iroi is dino ke kli sheni, there's no bishul. Iroi is not like a kli rishon where there would be bishul. Again, no bishul except for kaleya bishul, you know, we already discussed. Rabbeinu Tam says that very Gemara about Tasa Gavar is a raya in the other direction. He says, because the Gemara says, when it talks about Tasa Gavar, is Ademeka Le Balale, that even when the bottom is cold, there is some small amount of Blia, at least to the extent of Kedei Klipa. Meaning, what if I pour boiling hot milk over cold meat? So yeah, Tasa Gavar, so it doesn't totally absorb. But a Kedei Klipa, it does, because until the hot milk cools down, it takes a little bit, and it's already penetrated a Kedei Klipa until it cools down. So you do need a Kedei Klipa. So says Rabbeinu Tam, translate that over to Ilcha Shabbos, translate that over to Iroi Kli Rishon in general, and you will have that Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Why is it Mevashel Kedei Klipa? Because Ademekale, till it cools down, Balale, it's Balea. A Kedei Klipa. How would the Rashbam answer? So Rashbam would say, the Shach writes over here in the Pirush HaAruch, that Blios and Bishul are not the same. I mean, that's the whole Chakira we've been discussing the entire time. That just because something is Balalei, it doesn't mean that it's Mevashalei. So in Hilcha Shabbos, it's not going to be Mevashal. There are Blios in the Kedei Klipa, but there's no Bishul in the Kedei Klipa. The Gemara in Pesachim is only interested in Mavliya, in Blios. It's not talking about Hilcha Shabbos. So it turns out that the Machlokas Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam is about whether the issue of Blios and the issue of Bishul are connected to each other. Right? It would turn out that the Rashbam says they're not connected to each other. Rabbeinu Tam says they absolutely are connected to each other. And the Machlokas is only in Hilcha Shabbos. Right? The Machlokas is not in Isser V'Heter. In Isser V'Heter, everyone would say that the Blios at least penetrated Kedei Klipa in an Iroi Kli Rishon situation. However, Tosos in Zvachim quotes Balei Tosos that hold that Iroi is Mevashal entirely. That Iroi is a din of a Kli Rishon. This Shita must assume Tasagav is not about Iroi, because there's a big difference between regular Iroi and the case of Tasa Gavar. Namely, Iroi means lo nifsak hakiluach. Tasa Gavar is you take something out and you put it on something else. So it's nifsak hakiluach. It's no longer connected to the original Kli Rishon. Lo nifsak hakiluach means you're pouring it from the Kli Rishon and there's a steady stream that still connects it to the Kli Rishon. So when do we say Tasa Gavar? That's only when it's nifsak hakiluach, but when you're talking about lo nifsak hakiluach, then it's going to be mevashal through and through. So once the Gemara about tasa gavar has nothing to do with iroi, so now iroi could be much more intense. Iroi could be mevashal kulo, could be mevashal all the way through and through. So these are the three basic shitos: Rashbam, that it's not mevashal at all; Rabbeinu Tam, mevashal kedei klipa; and the Balei Tosos, the unnamed Balei Tosos, that is Mevashal through and through. Now, the Rashbam assumed that Iroi loses its Kli Rishon status when it hits the bottom of the Kli, but it could very well be that as soon as it leaves the airspace of the Kli Rishon, it already loses its status. Meaning, what's the Vardin Kli Sheni? Is like Tosfos, that the Defunos Makaros, or is it that once it's not in a Kli Rishon, Memela, it's a Kli Sheni? So if you hold that Kli Sheni is problematic in your Adaya, the discussion of Iroi is moot anyway. And if you hold that Kli Sheni is going to be a problem or Iroi Kli Rishon is going to be a problem in your, but since we all make our Adin Kli Sheni is not a problem, right? We hold that Kli Sheni is fine in your Adaya. So the questions of Iroi are very critical questions. Meaning, what do we assume if it's left the Dofne Kli Rishon but has not yet hit the Kli Sheni? So one of the rayos, there were two major rayos as far as this discussion, Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, Balei Tosfos. Two major rayos. aside from the raya that we spoke about of Tasa Gavar and Ila Gavar, right? Two other major rayas. One is the sugya of Mariku Shtifa in Mesachas Vachin, right? If there are blios of Kachim in Kalim, so the Torah tells us to do Mariku Shtifa of the Kalim. So the Gemara talks about a kli that was Iru L'Tocha Rotchin, that you poured Rotchin into the kli, meaning you didn't cook in the kli, it was literally Irui, that you had Irui Kli Rishon into the kli. And the context is as follows. There's a the classic case of Mariku Shtifa. When do you normally require Mariku Shtifa? Is when there's Bishul and Bliya. But the Gemara says, what if you could have one without the other? What if you could have a Bishul without a Bliya, or a Bliya without a Bishul? Which is just the fact that the Gemara uses those words, by the way, right? That's stunning, right? And we mentioned this, I think, last week. Bishul without a Bliya, Bliya without a Bishul, our whole Chakira, are the Klalim of Bishul and Bliya the same or not? I mean, the Gemara is talking about Bishul without a Bliya, Bliya without a Bishul. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you how you can have it. You can have a Bishul without a Bliya. If, let's say, you have a big oven, and food is in a pot in the oven. So it's cooking inside the kli, but nothing touches the walls of the oven. So there's Bishul, but there's no Bliya. Or you could have a Bliya without a Bishul, the Gemara says, and this is of more interest to us. Bliya without a Bishul, Iru L'Tocha Rotchin. They poured boiling water into the Kli. That creates Bliya, but no Bishul. So the Gemara wants to know, do you still need Mariku Shtifa when you have Bliya without Bishul? And the very example is Iru Kli Rishon, and no Bishul. And therefore, the Rashbam says, exactly. Right? That's my raya, that Iru Kli Rishon does not generate Bishul. The Gemara calls that no Bishul. However, what's Rabbi Natan going to do with that Gemara? How do you call that Bliya without Bishul? Rabbi Natan will say that it's at least Mevashel Kedei Klipa. So Tos says, no, Bliya below Bishul doesn't mean that there's no Bishul. It just means that the Kli is not... the Kli is not the cause of the Bishul. And certainly the other day in Tosa said that Iru is Mevashel Kula, right? He says, no, it doesn't mean that there's no Bishul. There is Bishul. It's just, we're talking about, does a Kli need Mariku Shtifa? The Kli would only need Mariku Shtifa if the Kli is contributing to the Bishul. So a Kli contributes to the Bishul when a Kli is the Kli Rishon, when it's the Kli that the food was cooked in. Over here, if anything, the Kli is removing you from the Bishul as best as it can. It may not do the trick. It may not be strong enough to take away the status of Bishul, but it's certainly not contributing to the Bishul. So there is a Bishul happening, but that entire Koach HaBishul that's taking place is coming from the food and not from the Kli. So that Raya, Tosos deals with and rejects. Another Raya is from a Sugim Psach and Ben Afrash Eschala. Yerchai Ben Chala on Lechem. Right, on dough that is intended to be baked. It doesn't have to necessarily be, a challah that like we think of challahs that you'd have at the Shabbos table. It could be a babka or something like that, you know. But if it's a thick dough that's intended to be baked, and you're not intending to be mevashalit, so it's chayiv and challah. But if, let's say, you have these little dumplings of dough that you just boil in water, you bake them in water, or in oil, right? So strictly speaking, those things do not require hafrashas challah. It's not lechem. So I guess this is in Yana Dioma, Sufganiyot, right? So there is a machlokas tanaim. If you cook flour and water together, and then you bake them together, meaning then you bake the dough, does it become chayiv and challah when you do the afiyah? You originally cook it and then you bake it. Is there a chayiv of hafrashas challah? This is very nogeh lemaisa. Why? Very popular Jewish food. Bagels. Right? Bagels are boiled, but that's not it. After they're boiled, they're baked. They're put in the oven. So is it chayiv and challah or not? So we paskin chayiv and challah. So your local bagel shop has to do hafrashas challah, and they do, hopefully. Right? It has a din of pas. And we say amotzi on it, and mafresh challah, paskom. Good. That's why you say amotzi on bagels. Within the Tana that holds the other way, that if it's cooked and then baked, it's pata from challah. So the Gemara says, if you hold that if it's cooked and then baked, it's pata from challah, it doesn't matter how you cooked it originally. What do you mean, how you cooked it originally? I mean, you took boiling water and you mixed it with the flour. So it doesn't matter whether you pour the boiling water into the flour or you put the flour into the boiling water, says the Gemara. If you hold that cooking it is going to patter it from challah, either way it's going to patter it from challah. Whether you put the boiling water into the flour or the flour into the boiling water. So the Rishonim say, well, wait a second. Why doesn't it matter? If you assume like the Rashbam, that Irui is not mevashal b'chlal. So what? I'm going to take boiling water and pour it into the flour. Guess what I just did? Not bishul. It didn't accomplish anything. If I took the flour and I put it into the boiling water, that's bishul. Boiling water into the flour is not bishul, according to the Rashbam. So why wouldn't it make a difference? And it certainly, it wouldn't be chayv in challah. If the flour is poured onto the water, then there's bishul. And even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it doesn't make so much sense. Why? Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, yes, Iroi is mevashel. But how much? It's only mevashel k'day klipa. And all the rest of the flour, all the rest of the dough, it's just being baked. It's not being cooked at all. So that for sure should be chayv in challah. See, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's troubling. This only makes sense according to that third shita, the Balei Atosos, who say that that it's absolutely mevashel through and through. That's the only way it's going to make sense. So Tosos fetches out for Rabbeinu Tam. For Rabbeinu Tam, he can fetch out an ukimta. What's the ukimta he fetches out? Tosos says, well, let's say you have exactly the shear of Hafrashas Challah. Using the, you know, whatever they say, we don't know the exact shear. That's why we give a range usually, right? We say once you hit 3 pounds of flour, then it's hafrasha without a bracha. 5 pounds hafrasha with a bracha. I think those are the numbers that they generally say. But let's say you know exactly what the shear hafrasha is, what the shear is of challah for hafrasha, and that's exactly how much flour you're using. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if just the kedei klipa of the flour is mevushal, now you're pachas mikashir. Meaning the chelek, that's chayiv in challah, is the exact shear minus a kedei klipa, which means you've gone under the threshold of the shear of rasha. Oh, once you're under the threshold of shear of rasha, so you're not going to be chayiv in rasha. That's quite an ukimta. That's what it's talking about. That dafka, you have the exact amount that you need for a rasha. So that's what it suggests for Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Rashbam, though, you still have trouble with this Gemara. So these are the major riots. Now, what are we passing in the end of the day about Iroi? So the Shach says that Iroi is mevashel k'dei klipa. That we're not so machmir that Iroi is mevashel through and through. But we don't assume Iroi does nothing. We assume it's mevashel k'dei klipa. And the Mishabura says the same in Hilchos Shabbos. So we assume that it's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Now, there are poskim that are Choshesh, that it's Mevashel Bekula. But generally speaking, that may occur, didn't we assume Kedei Klipa? You know, the case would be like the famous Hilchos Shabbos case, of course. Warming up a baby bottle is always what they give the example, right? That you have a baby bottle with milk in it, and it's freezing cold, you take it out of the fridge, the baby doesn't drink cold milk, so you want to put it in a mug and then run water, hot water from the urn directly over the baby bottle to warm it up. So if Iroi is mevashel through and through, you have a problem, because it goes all the way into the milk. But if Iroi is only mevashel kedei klipa, the kedei klipa is the bottle itself, so it's not going to be mevashel the bottle. You could violate bishul on even non-food items. Yeah, but it has to do something to it. The bottle is such a hard plastic, nothing's going to actually happen to the plastic, so it's not going to be a violation of bishul. So that's the classic nafkamina that they give, warming up a baby bottle. There is a question whether you can rely on the Rashbam in a bidyavit situation. Right, meaning the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Shabbos, I guess this is next year stuff, but the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Shabbos, let's say you're at someone's house and they do something that's like questionable. Can you eat the food? So Magen Avraham writes, if you know enough and you know that there's a shita that holds that way, even though most don't hold that way, we don't pasken that way, then you can eat the food. As far as Maaser Shabbos is concerned, as long as there's a legitimate shita that holds that way. So, you know, you see people warming up food in an oven on Shabbos. Shabbos morning, they're pulling out food from an oven. You're not choshish that they actually cooked on Shabbos. It's not bishul. But they violate achzar. And they put food in the oven on Shabbos morning. So is there a legitimate shita that holds that that's mutter? Right? So that's a discussion Rav Vadia has. I think Rav Vadia is mekel in that case. But the walls of the oven might be considered already garf for katzim because the fire is not exposed. Okay. Or maybe just wait till it cools down. But you look for a legitimate shita if there's a legitimate shita. So the question is the Rashbam at least a legitimate shita? Or do we say, no, it's just, you know, it's been outvoted? As Rav Shachter points out, this is one of the nafkaminas you have. We always assume Eluvelu Divrei Elokim Chaim is a klal in Torah, right? Gemara Nervin Eluvelu. Where are my Zichru guys? Eluvelu, what's that? You'd give them, of course. Right, so Eluvelu Divrei Elokim Chaim, we assume is a klal in Torah, but is it also a klal in Psak Halacha? Meaning, does Eluvelu make any impact in Psak Halacha? So Rav Shachter always likes to say, Eluvelu means that if you learn Shitas Beishama, it's not Bittul Torah. Right, when you learn Shitas Beishama, it's still a key in Matalma Torah. Just like he always says from the Rav, that when you learn about Dinim D'Rabbanan, it's a key in Matalma Torah, Midaraisa. Rav Shachter said recently, which shir was it in? I don't remember. But he said, oh, the shir he gave to the parents of the guys in his shir, which was, I told you about, and it was very funny. But it was a very beautiful shir. So one of the things he said, he likes to say over a lot also, is that he thinks it's a Beferish Rambam like that. That when you learn Dinim D'Rabbanan, it's still Talmud Torah Midaraisa, because the Rambam in Akdam to the Pirusha Mishnah goes through how we define Torah Shebal Peh, and the Rambam says, you know, there's Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh. How do we define Torah Shebal Peh? And the Rambam goes through. You have Pirusha Mamukubal Moshe Misinai. You have Halacha Moshe Misinai, right? Pirusha Mamukubal is like Pri Eitz Hadar. How do I know a beautiful fruit doesn't mean a watermelon? I happen to think a watermelon is much prettier than an esrog. It's got all those colors when you slice it open, right? Much nicer than it. No, but Pri Eitz Hadar, Perish HaMakubal, Moshe Misinai, that it means an esrog. You have Halacha Moshe Misinai, Shirin Chatzitzin, Mitchitzin, right? Halacha Moshe Misinai. And then you have Gzeiros Rabbanan and Takaros Rabbanan, the Rambam says. And he calls all of that Torah Shebal Peh. So Rav Shachter pointed out, Rav Soloveitchik didn't quote that makor, but when Rav Soloveitchik made that comment, the context of the comment, did I mention this to you guys recently? I don't know, I mentioned it somewhere, I never know what I said, but the context of that comment was that when they finished learning Masechus Brachos in the Moriah Shul, Rav Soloveitchik used to say Shir Moriah, which used to be a shul, where he was the Rav, he was officially the rabbi of the shul, even as he was chief rabbi in Boston and Rosh Shiva here, he had a lot of jobs. And then Ravan Soloveitchik was the Rav, and then Rabbi Weiss, who used to teach every day in the yeshiva for 60 years, was the Rav of the shul there. So he would give a weekly shir in that shul in Maseches Brachos, and he didn't move particularly fast, so it took like 10 years till they finished Brachos. So they made a big flesh of Gesuda see him when they finished Brachos. And Rav Soloveitchik said, one of the Balabatim said to him, you know, you really wasted a lot of time, because if you learn Tzvachim and Menachos, those are all Dinim Daraisa, so it would have been a Kiyum of Talmud Torah on a Daraisa level, but you're learning Brachos, that's only Talmud Torah on a Darabana level, because everything is only, all the except for creation, everything else in Brachos is Darabana. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's a Kiyum of Talmud Torah on a Daraisa level, even though we're only learning about Dinim Darabana. So he said that was a Farish Ram. But when it comes to Eluvel Divrei Elokim Chaim, so Rav Shachter likes to point out that it's not only about a klal in Talmud Torah, that what's considered a Talmud Torah, that even if you learn Shittas Beis Shammai, it's a klal in Halacha also. The Gemara has a comment, Kedayu Rabbi Shimon Lismach Lav B'Shas Adchak. Why? If we reject Rabbi Shimon, why is it Kedayu Rabbi Shimon Lismach Lav B'Shas Adchak? Because Eluvel Divrei Elokim Chaim tells us in Halacha. Or B'makom Hefzim Ruba, you can rely on the Das Yachid. That's a klal in Psak also. Malcolm Hefzim Meruba, we rely on the Das Yachid. The Gemara in today's daf actually just spoke about Hefzim Meruba, right? That for Hefzim Meruba, we're gonna rely on certain kulas. So mehechitesi that you can rely on the Das Yachid Hefzim Meruba because the Eluvel the Divrei Elokim Chayim. So there's a shaila in Poskim. Is the Rashbam at least in that? Is he at least included in like the Magen Avraham's? If there's a shita that holds that way, that it's okay. That Iroi is not Mevashel Bechlal, and therefore, if something was cooked, Al Yidei Iroi, that you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So Chaznish thinks that we totally outvoted the Rashbam. It's just, you know, off the reservation. You know, can't even rely on it, b'diavad. Now, just 2 points about Irui. The basis of the Rashbam, we said it was the sugya of Tasa Agavah, right? That Tasa Agavah tells you that if there's something cold on the bottom and hot coming on top of it, there's no bishul. The Shitin tells us that Irui is Mevashel Kulo. What's it going to do with Tasa Agavah? So this is what we just pointed out, that there's a difference between Nifsak HaKiluach and Lo Nifsak HaKiluach. This is critical also. It's not the same as Tasa Agavah, the Shita and Tosos will say, because Iroi is Lo Nifsak HaKiluach. Anytime there's Nifsak HaKiluach, it's not called Iroi anymore. So we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, who doesn't really need this chilek between Nifsak and Lo Nifsak, because Rabbeinu Tam's okay with the Tasa Agavah Gemara anyway. In fact, we said before, Rabbeinu Tam holds the Gemara of Tasa Agavah is my makar! Because Ademekalei, till it's about G'day Klippas. That's my makar of G'day Klippas. So the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't need a chiluk between Nifsak Kiluach and Lo Nifsak Kiluach. Okay, he doesn't need it. But does it exist? Meaning he doesn't have a hechrich from Shas that you have to say it. But is it true that there's a difference between Nifsak and Kiluach? So there's a machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach. The Ramah in throughout Yerdeya, in Sadi Dalid and in Hilchos Malicha, the Ramah writes that Nifsak HaKiluach is not Irui. Irui is only when it's low Nifsak HaKiluach. Think about what that means. If it's not Irui, what is that? It's Klisheni then. Klisheni is not going to be Mavliya. That's huge. I'll explain why it's huge in a moment. That's huge. The Shach disagrees. Shach thinks that even if it's not Mevashel, it would still be Mavliya. The reason it's huge is a dishwasher. Right. Many poskim assume that a dishwasher, yes, it has a din of Irui Kli Rishon, but Irui Kli Rishon that's Nifsak HaKiluach. The way it spritzes is just done in such a way where it goes through the things in such a way where by the time it hits the dishes, it's considered Irui Kli Rishon Nifsak HaKiluach. If that's the case, every time you have a shaila about a dishwasher, you have a major snif lahakel, and his name is the Rama, right? A major snif lahakel. You know, all the time you get shaylas. A milchik spoon was accidentally run through the fleshig dishwasher. What do I do about? So now you have three shaylas, right? What are the three shaylas? The spoon, the fleshig dishes, and the dishwasher. So there are a lot of sniffim that we have to put together. But even legabe, what are we most likely to be machmir about, and most likely to be mekel about in all that? The spoon itself are most likely to be machmir about, right? Because it's a whole dishwasher full of fleshig dishes, and there's this one little spoon, so there could be lots of fleshig blios all over the place, right? So we're most likely to be machmir, but if it's Irui Shenifsak HaKiluach and you have the Ramah, it could be that we could even be mekel on the spoon. Some poskim say, well, wait a second, you really have to look at your dishwasher. Some dishwashers have a coil at the bottom of the dishwasher, and as it runs through, the water level comes up and sits there in the coil. What would that be called? That's Kli Rishon. Al Gabei Eish, right? That's Mamish Kli Rishon. But if the spoon is like on a top shelf or something, and the water doesn't come up to that level, doesn't sit in a pool to that level. Now, of course, we also have Davra Pogim in a dishwasher, which may depend on how the dishwasher runs. Some dishwashers will go through a cold rinse and then release the soap, and then go through a hot rinse. So now you also have a Davar Pogim with the soap that's already been released into the dishwasher. And also, in order to have a problem with that spoon, it's not enough that water hit the spoon. What has to have happened? That the water has already rinsed things with enough force that there's fleishig that hit the spoon, and then water hit the spoon. Right, meaning that there's a piece of a little tiny piece of meat that hits that spoon, and then the hot water hits the spoon and is mavliya that meat into the spoon. So what are the chances that happened? Right, obviously you can never know, you can't see inside, you can't see what's going on, and that piece of meat was large enough, it wasn't like destroyed by the impact of the water when it hit the other fleshig dishes, that it was large enough not to be batel b'shishim, right, meaning there's a lot to uh, to process when it comes to a dishwasher. But again, this Ramah is like a major, major sniff lahakel. There's also a discussion about Eroi that runs across the being in the dishwasher of the koil. The spoon is on the bottom, but it's only halfway submerged. Does that change anything? Yeah, so we have to discuss that also. What if you have something that's partially in? So cham ksaso cham kulo. Did we discuss that? Whether cham ksaso cham kulo means necessarily that if it's below ksaso, that it's that bleos also transfer all the way. We did a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So right. So ayin shan. Right. That goes back to that discussion. Now. Rabbi Kivayka discussed, what if you have Eroi, but it's not Eroi directly, it's Eroi onto the side of the Kli, meaning the Eroi goes into the Kli and then just runs along the wall of the Kli and lands in the bottom. So once it's at the bottom of the Kli, when it hits the bottom of the Kli, is that called Kli Sheni or is that called Eroi Kli Rishon? Meaning you could pour something into a mug where it just goes straight in and hits the bottom, or you could pour it along the side walls and then it sort of runs down to the bottom. So Rabbi Kivayka discusses this in Hilchos Shabbos and Mishneh Yuchas. If you put a tea bag on one side of it, let's say you hold like Rav Soloveitchik that you're allowed to make, and Rav Shechter you're allowed to make tea in a Kli Sheni, right? But not Eroi Kli Rishon. So if you put the tea bag on one side of the cup and you run the water on the other side of the cup and it runs down, so is that called Eroi Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? So Rabbi Kivayka quotes Mekilim on that, and L'chor, it makes a lot of sense that there should be Mekilim because it's already had Dofnei HaKli to cool it down. So L'chor, it makes a lot of sense to be Mekil. And ladles we discussed already, yeah? You mentioned ladles? Okay. Right. The context was the discussion about kasher, right? Can you kasher with a ladle? Okay. The next topic we'll just start at least is yeah, Jen.
How do you have that kula? Because heating up the wall, by then it's already, if you're pouring on the wall all the hot water on just that one side, it's eventually gonna be hot. So the latter water that's coming in isn't gonna have built
yet. Yeah, but you say that about a Kli Sheni anyway, meaning once you pour something in. So if I do a piece by little by little, then it's not going to be called Kli Sheni.
On the same wall, if you're pouring it on, doesn't
matter. You're saying it's like a preheated Kli.
Right.
It's like so where you don't have the coolness.
So I guess we'll speak about it. People like if it was in the pot, poured in the wall, or it's hot.
Right. But that's different. That was submerged in the pot, so it was actually being cooked in the pot. Right. That's that machlokas. Mariel and the Taz, whether a ladle has a din of a Kli Rishon or not. But I don't know. I don't see that so much when you're pouring into the Kli. So it's running along the wall. It's not sitting on the side of the wall. It's running along the wall. But just to mention quickly, by the ladle, the shaila is if you're kashering with Eroi. You can kasher with Eroi if the blios were with Eroi, right? Now blios being tzotzos, af plates being tzotzos. That if the blios only happen with something spilling on it, so then you could kasher that way as well. So the Maril says you cannot ladle the hot water out of the pot and kasher that way, because that's klisheni, it's Eroi klisheni, it's not Eroi klirishon. But the Maril says if you leave it inside, then it does work. There's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah that struggles with that exact shaila in a different context. Tosfos talks about if you the halacha is that if you shecht an animal, you got to do malicha, but you can't cook it before you do malicha. But there's a problem because in order to do malicha, you first need to remove the feathers of the animal. But to remove feathers of an animal, it's easiest to remove the feathers once you cook it. Once you cook it, it softens the skin; the feathers come right off. So there's a discussion of poskim: is there any way to cook it in a way that's not halachically cooking it? Because once you cook the dam into the meat, you can't do malicha anymore. Malicha is not going to work anymore. So can you heat it up in a way that will make the feather, that in metzius will make the feathers easy to take off, but in halacha will not be considered a bishul? So some of the rishonim suggest just put it into a Kli Sheni, and that will work practically. So Tos says, okay, but can you do Eroi? Can you do Eroi Kli Rishon onto the meat, and that way you'll take the feathers off, and it won't be bishul. So that's Tali in that Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam Rashbam, and Tosos, the three deos, that it only works if Yuri is not Mevashel at all. If Yuri is Mevashel even a Kadei Klipa, you're going to have a problem, right? If it is not Mevashel at all, then it's totally, totally fine. So Tosos says, okay, but what if you ladle out hot water and pour it that way? So that's where Tosos leaves it as a Safik, a Mesech Zavod Zara, whether that that works or not. What's the Safik? It's exactly this Safik, whether this Machlokas between the Taz and the Maril, and Tosos leaves it unresolved, and as I think we mentioned last time, we leave it unresolved also, meaning we use it as a snifla hakel, that the very strong possibility that a ladle has a din of kli sheni, and we use it as a snifla hakel dafka when it comes to dipping your challah in your soup, right? Which generally speaking, the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, and the Ramah, that you're not allowed to put challah in the kli rishon, even though there's a tzad to say that ain't bishul achar afiyah. But we're machmir the Eish Bishal Acharafiyah, that you're not allowed to put, even in a klisheni, rather, you're not allowed to put chal in a klisheni, because we're machmir that Eish Bishal Acharafiyah and klisheni, and chal is kalei abishal. But once you have a third tzad lahakel, then maybe it's not really a klisheni, maybe it's klishlishi, because you ladle the soup into your bowl. So that's what we're mekhlas, and Mishbur is mekhlas, that you're allowed to put your challah into your soup, even if your soup is very, very hot. Although we've suggested that maybe if it's yad nichvis bo, you don't have any of the kulas of klisheni, so then you have another tzad lahachmir, so maybe you should at least wait till it's not. So it's not Yad Nichvis Bo. Although some people, Dafka, want to put their challah in the soup only when it's Yad Nichvis Bo, because they're really hungry. They want to eat their soup, but it's too hot to eat. But you put some challah in, it doesn't feel as hot, because the challah sort of cools it down a little bit. So they put the challah in and eat it that way. So that could be more of a problem. But anyway, that's the... You know what? Okay, we'll start Sli tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We'll start a new the discussion of Sli Bez Hashem tomorrow. It's really a basa b'cholav sugya, but it's good. We're laying the groundwork for basa b'cholav. Okay, have a great day, everybody. I apologize.